I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we have a video crew with us, and we should wave at the camera more often because, you know, they get lonely over there. And we're streaming that live as well at earadio.net. You could just click on the HD video link, which is right there on the page right below the audio link. So there we go. We are, if you are watching on the link, you can see this big CL-215 Canadair water bomber right behind us. We're actually under the wing and the sponson of the airplane. It's big. It's cool. Come on out and see it right across from the IAC Aerobatic Center. So we're talking about all kinds of firefighting stuff today. That's kind of the theme of On the Fly today. And joining us now is Robert Fairbanks. He is a C-130 pilot with the 731st Airlift Squadron at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And you're a reservist, right?
That is correct, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for talking with us today. So how did you decide? So I know that the C-130 has a lot of missions. It's used in a lot of different ways. You could be a hurricane hunter, or you could dropping. What is it called? LAPES drops or something like that.
All supplies. Kinds of missions in support of the Army.
Right.
All kinds of different Department of Defense missions. It's amazing, isn't it?
The airplane is probably more vastly used than any other for different things, I would think. Tell us a little bit about your airplane first, and then tell us about what your squadron does and how you decided to go and do that particular type of work, firefighting.
Absolutely, absolutely. As a member of the Air Force Reserve, our airplanes are owned by the Department of Defense, and we go and we fly in support of our nation whenever we're called to do so. Deployments, as well as local operations, helping train the Army, the Marines, the Navy. This mission, this is something special. It's something that I don't think anybody else has an opportunity to do. We support the Forest Service. We support their mission. So what we try to do is to take our airplane and mix it up with all of the other civilian assets, like the water scooper here today. And we try to go in and we do our best to be a seamless part of a fight to save lives and to save property.
Okay, and I talked to Mary earlier about how this process starts. You got called out as a resource from the dispatch center. I'd imagine your group, your squadron, is on a list for your region. And then what happens when you get called to go assist in a fire?
Well, our job is to be ready when we are called. When all the civilian assets, all of the civilian tankers are busy because the fire season has gotten so big, when they call us up, we come in, and our job is to respond as quickly as we can. We'll pick up and we'll fly halfway across the country, and we'll start operations immediately upon arrival, seamlessly if we can. We'll roll in, we'll load up with retardant, and we can fight fires that very same day that we arrive.
Okay, and you're basically interacting. Mary, help us out here. He's interacting with the other groups as needed.
Yes.
In the Congo line, so to speak.
Yeah, they fit right in over the fire. They're on the same radios we are on, and they just work in, work out, drop, load and return, drop, load and return. And I should mention there are three other reserve units that we use. There's Reno, Nevada. There is Cheyenne, Wyoming, and there is
out in California.
Out in California, yeah,
Channel Islands.
Yes. So Point Magoo. So the Forest Service owns 8 of these tanks, and Robert will tell you about those in a minute. But 2 per unit, and they slide in the back of the C-130, and you'll see those drop later today.
Oh, very cool. All right, let's talk about that then.
Absolutely. We actually can carry 3,000 gallons of water or retardant, which makes us the equivalent of a large air tanker in the civilian world. And our system operates in a roll-on, roll-off basis. So if we needed to take that off and go fly a Department of Defense mission, we can do that. It'll be gone in about 3-4 hours, and we can go back and do whatever else we need to do. Our goal, what we want to do, is bring 2 of our systems that the Forest Service owns and we're caretakers of, and we'll bring them to the fire, and we'll just rotate them in and out all day long, all week, all month, as long as it takes, and we can do that. So our airdrop, we'll drop from about 150 feet, and The idea is to build a line of retardant so the firefighters on the ground, they can see those flames have been repressed, they keep from spreading, and they can get a containment around the fire.
Wow. Well, we should mention that the Veterans Parade is happening right now. And so there's all that going on. Friday is that day where they march from down in Warbirds up here to Boeing Plaza. So that's, if we see all this crowd going by, that's what they're doing, honoring our veterans. It's a great day for that. And you obviously are one of those, or you will be.
Thank
you. So thank you for your service. Let's talk about, you're not a scooper, so since you're not scooping, I assume, how do you refill? Do they refill those tanks and you roll them out and roll a new one on? Is that how it works?
You'll have to say that again. There was an airplane in my right ear.
How do you load your retardant?
Well, what we do is we'll pull in on a ramp. On the edge of the ramp, the Forest Service has personnel that have set up that retardant. They're in charge of mixing it, and they just hook it up. Today, we're using a fire truck and a fire hose, and we're just pumping it into the tank and the aircraft. And then we close it up, and we go out, and we drop it.
3,000 gallons is a lot of liquid.
3,000 gallons of retardant, and if we drop it, depending on the type of fuel we're dropping on, it can all be gone in about 8.5 seconds.
Right. Do most of the delivery airplanes use that 150-foot number? I've heard it a couple times today.
Yeah, between 150 to 250 feet, depending on the size of the airplane, and also the coverage level we ask for. A coverage level is simply how many gallons per a 10 by 10 area, 100 square foot. So coverage level 1 is 1 gallon in that area. Coverage level 8 is 8 gallons, and it's to coat the fuel. The other reason we ask for a specific specific altitude, is so that the water or retardant rains down and coats both sides of the fuel, rather than only one side of it, and then we get shadowing. So it needs to rain down. It needs to stop the forward motion when it comes out of the tanks.
Okay, perfect. So you're a pilot. This is very specialized work for a C-130 pilot. I mean, your normal C-130 training obviously doesn't cover firefighting. What kind of special training do you go through in your squadron to get qualified?
Well, within our squadron, we do our own training. We have individuals who have been doing this mission for 15 or more years, and we rely on them to pass it on to the next generation. I've been flying the C-130 since 1996, but not until I acquired a great deal of experience and got very comfortable in the aircraft and upgraded beyond aircraft commander and instructor pilot was I brought into the program. So I've now been flying the MAFS mission, well, since 2006.
Okay, so in-house training, and you know, our last guest, Patrick, he mentioned the movie Always. In that movie, there's a training center. It was in Afraid of Washington for the movie, but...
I know where you're going with this, and no, John Goodman was not my instructor, but I wish he was.
Yeah, because you would like to bomb that tent.
Oh, yes.
Right? Yeah. So, John wasn't your instructor, but is it a similar scenario to that? Do you go out and do practice runs in a vast area like that?
When we go out and we fight on real fires, we rely on the Forest Service, like Mary, to lead us into the fire and to show us where the fire retardant needs to go. So we train the same way. So 1 week out of every year, whether there's fires or not, we get together with the Forest Service at various locations, and we get together with our sisters and our brothers from the other MAFS units, and we work together and we train and we practice. That's when we drop water. There's no fire in the ground. Makes it nice and simple, but we still keep those skills, keep them going.
They cone it off, or how do they mark it for training?
Actually,
there's no fire, so.
Yeah, we go do pretend fires. We'll find clearings. We clear the area before we do our spring training. And we get together this last May. It was in Colorado Springs. And we went up into unoccupied areas of the U.S. forests and ran up and down the hills, dropped water, and played Let's Pretend. And we do it until everybody is safe and proficient. So we had all the units there, and we do that every year. It's usually in the springtime, sometimes as early as March, but it's usually April and May.
Gotcha. So, say you, well, you're a reservist, so that means you have another full-time job, right? Airline pilot?
Or? Unless you want to count my family life, that's a full-time job too, right?
Yeah, that's
the family's here today. So.
That's everybody's full-time job. But so when it's not the firefighting season, you guys are still operating because you're doing DOD missions as well. So, but you're a reservist, so your commitment is a little different than like an active duty squadron. Are there any active duty firefighting squadrons or no?
There are no active duty squadrons right now. Several years ago, we actually had an active duty squadron in Colorado Springs, and they were a part of our mission at that time.
Okay. Wow. Good. So it all makes sense to us now. Anyway, hey, thank you very much for joining us and sharing this part side of military life, which I actually didn't even realize there was military firefighting. So, I probably most of our listeners didn't either. So, thank you for sharing with us.
Well, thank you,
Jay Machi. We're on the fly over here by the IAC Aerobatic Center, just right across on the flight line underneath this Viking aircraft, and we saved for last our wonderful hosts, and we'll talk to them next. You're listening to EAA Radio.